Hello and welcome to The Blurs, the Black Nerds with the Word. This is a podcast where Blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
This is Drew. What is good, y'all? Coming to you live from the Dirty Dwarf, Double D. You know, we chilling. Got about 2 weeks till Christmas. Hope y'all got y'all Christmas shopping done. I know I did. But, you know, we chilling. Let y'all know... our boy Justin is not here today. He just got a new car. So, you know, congrats to him. And we'll see him next week. And pass on to my boy Kenny.
All right, big homie Kenny, Murder Mocha all day. Like the man Drew said, the homie Justin out here getting that new whip. And heck, he'll be back next week, you know, represent Kel Calvert, all that, everything. That's back to the host, Marcus.
Kenny, you sound tired as hell.
Been up since 6. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into this big-ass news segment. So, if you've been living under a rock yesterday for us, Disney basically unloaded the clip on us. They said this is everything, well, most of the things we're planning for the next 2 years regarding our movies and Disney Plus and stuff like that. We got a lot of Marvel news. We got a lot of Disney Plus news. We got a lot of Star Wars news. And we got some Disney news, but I did not look into the purely Disney stuff. I was just interested in Star Wars and Marvel and the stuff relating those two that are going to be on Disney Plus and in theaters, hopefully within the next 2 years and when the pandemic is over. So let's start with Star Wars. So Star Wars, we got a video from Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman and the second Wonder Woman that will be released on Christmas. And she says she is going to be directing, and I don't know if she's writing, but she's definitely going to be directing a Star Wars film revolving pilots in space fights and everything like that. We see her in at an airport or something like that. Not a real airport, but like one of those airports where you have one of those one-man airplanes and stuff like that. And she's talking about how her dad was a pilot and everything like that. And she has been looking for the opportunity to create a story revolving pilots and stuff like that, or at least find one so she can bring it to life. And she said the Star Wars universe was where she would create that story or bring that story to life. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It would be nice to see Patty Jenkins' voice without the heavy blanket of Zack Snyder's influence or input, you know, in regards to DC and everything like that. What do you guys think about that news?
So for me, I think that one is pretty interesting. I want to see how, because usually there's a number of pilots that you kind of get their profile about and see what their life is and stuff. Like was a Poe a pilot? Poe.
Yeah.
The names are, I'm blanking on the names, but it's pretty, you got any?
Well, a whole lot of names are pilots.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, that's, you know, that's pretty, interesting. They're kind of like the unsung heroes in the galaxy far, far away. So that's pretty, do you know what title is that? What's the name of it? Because I'm trying to find. Is that the Rogue Squadron one?
I think it is. Let me. Patty.
They literally put out like 100 like Star Wars titles. I know the one I'm excited about.
It's called
about.
Rogue Squadron, and
oh, that's the one.
Come out during Christmas 2023.
What has me interested about that one is because it has Rogue in it, which is Rogue One. I think it's, you know, it has something to do with Rogue One, the movie, which was one of my favorite Star Wars movies, and what I think a lot of people can agree with that. So I, if it has some ties with that and that mission, I would be very interested in seeing it. But I'm looking at some of the titles right now, and I see they have a Lando show that's going to come out. So I'm not sure if Donald Glover is going to be in it. I hope so. I see Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know if that's going to be a live action show or an animated one, but those are the ones that kind of stood out for me.
Yeah, so Obi-Wan will be a Rogue One spinoff series, and it will bring back both Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. So,
oh yeah, that's the one. Okay, yeah, I'm watching it. Okay.
It takes place 10 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith. So I think this is the most interesting series that was unveiled yesterday. I think just seeing Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi go through the motions of realizing that he has created this monster or was responsible in training this monster.
Yeah.
And I want to see his adventures on Tatooine, how he tried to stay out of Luke's way, out of Luke's life, but still monitor him at the same time. And I want to see how Hayden brings Darth Vader to life, because we saw him at the end of Revenge of the Sith, but I don't know after, you know, he's in the suit, what Hayden had to do with that, you know. We just saw them putting the armor on him and everything like that, the suit. So I wonder what else are we going to see? Are we going to see a lot of his disfigured face and stuff like that? So
I would hope so. I want to know how many. I do want to know, but I'm interested in how many episodes they're going to try to do, because I know Netflix, they usually do the 8 or like 13. Was The Mandalorian? It's like 7, right? Or at least the second season, 7, right?
I think it's 8.
Oh, it's 8. Okay, so pretty interesting to see how long these shows are. If they all come out, like if they all actually are like good to go, come out, I want to see if they're all going to be like between 8 to 10 or 8 to 13 episodes, because these are like movie like type of content that's coming out. So I'm super excited to see how much. So that they don't have to worry about fitting everything in like a 3-hour movie or a 2-hour movie. Yeah. I love that. I think there should be more shows like that, because there's a whole bunch of movies that really could have just been shows and have been better. So super excited about those.
Let's talk about these next few ones so we can wrap up with this and get into the Marvel news. So Ahsoka is going to get her own show on Disney Plus. If I didn't mention, Obi-Wan is going to be on Disney Plus. We don't know whether Rogue Squadron will be on Disney Plus, but hopefully the pandemic will be over by then, so it won't have to be on Disney Plus. But yeah, Ahsoka Tano is getting her own series, and she will be, Rosio Dawson will play her.
That's gonna be lit.
Yeah, and I think Ahsoka has showed up in season 2 of The Mandalorian, and I haven't caught up in Mandalorian yet, so I am interested in seeing her performance. I don't have any special ties with Ahsoka like that, so I'm wondering how this will pan out for me in regards to like how much I like it and stuff like that. But I do like that she is a great Jedi. Like, she's not picking the light side or the dark side. She's right in the middle or doing whatever she wants to do in that connection with Darth Vader. How is she moving after his death and stuff like that? Because her series is going to take place during The Mandalorian. So that's going to be interesting. And I think lastly, we have Andor. And Andor is going to be spinoff of Rogue One, and it will feature Diego Luna. So he played Cassian Andor in Rogue One. He was the dude
I remember now.
Now, this one kind of disappoints me a little bit. And it's probably going to be tough, but it kind of disappoints me because I want to get out of that original trilogy era. I want to move far away from that as possible because I just want to see new things. I know we're going to see new stories, but I'm tired of seeing stories taking place during that time because we already know what's ultimately going to happen. And that's
exactly,
especially when how are people going to view this when they know what's going to happen to him after this series ends?
Exactly. I feel the same way. I'm just, you know, I like prequels. I think they're interesting, but I think sometimes it can be seen as kind of like a cash cow and just a way to just, you know, profit off their original, you know, movies that you said, like the trilogy. But I think I will probably watch it, or if there's something that I see that catches my eye, like on social media or something like that, then I'll probably catch on it. But I'm not too excited about it. But I didn't even realize that was the dude from Rogue One. So that's, you know, that's cool. But I do agree that it should be some more, like some new stories outside of the, you know, the big three.
Yeah.
Oh, Kenny's back. What's good?
So, Kenny, do you have any...
I had to restart my whole computer.
Oh, man.
Dang. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts regarding the Star Wars information that Disney dropped on this yesterday?
I mean, I'm interested. I mean, Ahsoka Tano, can't wait to see Rosario Dawson in that. I mean, she already premiered in a role on Mandalorian. Want to see how they do that series because she had... Well, she's been a fan favorite low-key back in the day when Clone Wars came out because... People our age really like Clone Wars. It's just the older generation was trying to say, hey, man, this is trash. It's nothing compared to the original trilogy. And then funny thing is we're doing this to the kids now saying, hey, man, this new Star Wars is trash. Don't ever say this and that and all that. So, I mean, as far as that, I'm looking forward to the Ahsoka Tano series. I'm looking forward to Kenobi because Obi-Wan's that nigga. And yeah.
Okay, so
Marvel.
I guess we'll get into Marvel now. So oh, yeah. Marvel news dropped a whole bunch of shit on us. So even before Disney officially confirmed a lot of stuff regarding the Spider-Man 3 movie that we will get in 2022, I believe, there were rumors that the previous Spider-Men were coming back, so Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. We even got a picture of Tobey Maguire doing a suit fitting for the film. And it was interesting that they got both of them back because I think Tobey didn't like it seemed like he soured on the experience afterwards. At least that was a rumor. I could be wrong. But a lot is going on with this movie. Yesterday, it was confirmed that John Watts, the director of the previous two Marvel Spider-Man films, is going to helm Spider-Man 3 along with Fantastic Four. It seems that it was confirmed that, was it confirmed that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are coming back? Was it officially confirmed?
It's still not fully confirmed for them, but it is like, what's the name? Andrew Molina is coming back as Doc Ock. We have Jamie Foxx as Electro. We also have J.K. Simmons as, J. Jonah Jameson. And also they're still in talks right now, but I heard it's like a more of a 80 to 90%. Let's say for sure that they're all coming back because they're getting them. They're getting Kirsten Dunst for Mary Jane. They're getting Gwen Stacy for, let's say, Emma Thompson for Gwen Stacy and all the other stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Jamie Foxx was confirmed, or it's like, like you said, it's pretty basically confirmed without being confirmed. But if he's back, or not back, if he's going into this universe, I think that, you know, the other universe is also going to come, because it wouldn't make sense. At least I don't think it would.
Yeah. I mean, as far as this, it's going to be, I feel like this is going to be either one of two things. It's going to be really good. It can give us all Spider-Man culmination that we've had since we were kids, all the way up to now, just a full circle thing with every reference and everything, and take the feeling of Spider-Verse, like the animated movie, take that to the real Marvel universe as far as everything else, and then it can be really lit. Or it can really be bad as far as it can get overcomplicated, a whole bunch of jumbling and all that. But I mean, I'm hoping for the good, and Marvel hasn't really like steered us wrong yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I have faith in Marvel personally. I think that they can do this. However, I will say this movie needs to be, in my opinion, needs to be Infinity War Endgame type of length, because it's so many characters, and it seems like it's going to be so many villains that if it feels like Spider-Man 3, remember the original Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
If it's like that, which I personally enjoyed, but I knew it was trash. If it's like that, then that's a huge letdown. That's a humongous letdown. And I think it needs to be literally like 3 hours long, like no joking.
It depends how they toe the line, because my thing is, they're supposed to, like, the multiverse is supposed to start getting whipped out in Doctor Strange 2, which is literally called the Madness of the Multiverse and everything. And then that they're supposed to be expanded upon inside of the WandaVision show and everything. So we'll see how that play, like, because that starts the whole multiverse thing, and we have everything happening there. Then Doctor Strange is supposed to be in, because he's supposed to be like the character being like in every movie going forward inside the Marvel Universe, but he's going to be in Spider-Man, and that's how it is. So either, I'm hoping, like, if they include them into like the movie as in like they're there for like a good amount of screen time, I'm dope for it. But just don't have it. I mean, and I'm also okay if they do a cameo at the end, but just don't like give us like they're there for a little bit then just gone. Like, I don't know if y'all remember seeing Deadpool 2?
Yeah.
And like how they were at the Xavier Mansion and everything. It's like, hey man, where is everybody? It's always ghosts and everything. What, we can't afford the X-Men? And that literally showed them in the next room. And
that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they could do, like, my thing is, if they do that, but like just have, like, say it's the end of the screen, end of the movie, they all pop out and do the Spider-Man meme, I fucks with it.
No, the Spider-Man meme has to happen. Like, I feel if it doesn't happen, I'll be pissed off. Like, it has to happen. But I don't know. Go ahead.
So, Kenny, you say you don't want them all to be in the movie at the same time. You want them to show up at the end as like
a... No, I said, like, the way I said that happened, like, I said either have them in throughout the whole movie, as in, like, we have the first 10 minutes without them, then after that, there, or have them at the end of the movie, but just don't have, like, they're there for, like, a brief... Like, it's kind of weird to toe that line. Like, either have them there for a cameo or have them there for the whole movie. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can see that. I wonder how they're going to play off of each other, though. I think Andrew is like the mix between both of them, because was it Tom Holland? Tom Holland, even though he does play the geeky thing, you know, very well, you can tell he is a very outgoing person. And Tobey Maguire is just—he's like the awkward version of Spider-Man, like all the time. So I just see it being a little bit more weight on like the Andrew and Tom side. Like maybe they'll be making jokes of like Tobey throughout the thing or something like that.
Toby's kind of like the Squidward of the Spider-Man. His Spider-Man movies were dark, especially the first one. They were just dark. So I think that would be pretty interesting seeing that. I think Andrew Garfield was, I mean, I'll say Tom Holland's my favorite Spider-Man, but Andrew Garfield is like literally right there. I think he was really, really good. So I think his interactions with Tom Holland is going to be pretty hilarious. And I'm interested in seeing how Toby's going to be. He's a great actor as well.
Be funny, like Toby, like Iron Man Jr. What you gonna do? Cry? Just cause shit's not going your way?
Yo, that'd be funny.
I think the relationship between Tobey Maguire and what's Iron Man's name again? I'm forgetting.
Tony Stark.
Who?
Not Tony Stark.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert. Their dynamic would have been great if they managed to get in the movie with each other. Because Toby's so awkward, and Robert Downey Jr. would really play off of that and be like, "Why are you so weird?"
Yeah.
So let's move on to. Do you guys think that Miles will be brought up in any capacity in this next movie?
I don't, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I can see it happening toward the end. Like, we have, like, that kid out of nowhere, and after that, it's just something teased, and then we see it, like, later on, like, toward the next big event, he pops out, because, you know, every big event, we always have, like, a bunch of new heroes joining the fray. And they'd be like, "What? Who are you?" It was like, "Oh, like by that time, like, because the next big event's not happening until probably 2025. So by that time, Tom's gonna be grown, like a little bit more grown by then, that they can have like the whole mentorship role and like a younger Miles." But yeah, if he's still there.
Okay, so I was mistaken. It's not gonna come out in 2022. They hope to release it on December 17, 2021.
Oh, so next year. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I'm not going to put that much weight on this date. I don't think they'll make it. With the things are going right now, I just don't trust anything coming out in theaters on later this year, later next year.
Phase 4 yet with Black Widow.
Yeah, they should just drop that on Disney Plus because people are not going to see that like that.
Yep.
And I think the movie's going to be good, but we just do not rock with Black Widow like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, she not is to, the least favorite of the Avengers.
Yeah, not to go out in a pandemic to watch that joint. I'm watching that joint at home.
Yeah. So let's move on to.
Oh yeah, one last piece of. You go ahead, bro. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was about to say. News today. Christian Bale was confirmed to play Gore, the God Butcher, in the.
We'll get into that. Okay.
I don't know if you got over that, but yeah.
Yeah. So, Fantastic Four. John Watts is also directing Fantastic Four. What do you guys think about that? Do you think he was the right choice? He is the dude that directed the last two Spider-Man movies.
Okay, good. I'm glad you clarified that, because I was about to say, who is that? Yeah, the last two were all right. I like the first one better. But, you know, I'm more so interested on the casting, I think, than the director. I'm really interested in how they're going to do that. I hope they don't do it like how they did. What was the second one they put out with Michael B. Jordan as a Human
Torch? That was the reboot.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, I didn't even see that one. I just know it was garbage. Yeah, so I'm more so interested with the casting and the villain. I need to see Dr. Doom. I think it's time for Dr. Doom or Galactus.
Okay, so speaking of the Thor movie, it's called Thor God Thunder and Love or something like that.
Love and Thunder, yeah.
Love and Thunder. And you said that Batman is going to be Gore. The God Butcher.
This will be lit.
So, yeah, it is going to be lit. I don't know how love ties into it, though, because I think, Kenny, have you read that Gore story?
That Gore story was actually dope as hell. Like, what's
it? It was the best Thor thing I've ever read.
But like, I feel like that's because it's supposed to tie in. Because I feel like they said that she's supposed to cut her hair and try to adopt the whole like into the Jane Foster becomes Thor type shit. I think.
Oh, they're doing that now.
That's what I'm thinking that's going into, because like they have renewed what's in his contract, so he can still be into it. But like, as far as what's happening, only thing I know for Thor 4. This is Thor 4. Chris Hemsworth's confirmed. So is all the Guardians. So is Doctor Strange. So is Jane Foster. So is Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. And then after that, Gore is supposed to be the villain. So, like, they said, like, as far as her hair, like, they were trying to go more for her hairstyle. Like, because I remember they showed one picture or whatever where, like, her having short hair like Jane Foster did. You know, yeah, like she was recovering from cancer or she was about to have cancer and everything. Trying to, like, tease that. So that's what I can see them kind of doing. I'm okay with it. My thing is, they're, since we only have really Captain Marvel as, like, the female lead and people take it or leave it with her, they might try to push that, but yeah.
Okay, is Taika, I think his name is Taika Waititi. I'm butchering his name. Taika Waititi. He is the director of the last Thor movie. Is he reprising his role for this film?
I didn't get a chance to see that. I don't know.
Okay, so while we get into that, let me tell you guys who Gore is, because I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this don't know, or
I don't.
They might just have an inkling. So he is, he was the first villain in Jason Aaron's Thor run. And Jason Aaron has one of the best Thor runs ever. So Gore was the main antagonist in. He was going around killing all the gods of the universe because the gods on his planet were selfish and they didn't carry on their duties to their people. So his people were wiped out. They faced drought and hungerness and everything like that. And one day he got this armor and this sword from one of his gods, and it was like one of the ultimate weapons in the Marvel universe. He just went around killing these guys because they're not facing their responsibilities. So, yeah, it was like agnostic that knows gods are real in that sense that they are physical beings, but he doesn't believe in them. So, no, not agnostic. He was an atheist, basically. He knew that gods were real, but he didn't believe in them. He didn't believe in, like, the miracles that they brought and thought they were just, you know, there to have all this power and squabble over it. So very interesting to see Gore. Let's move on to what's next. Let's go to Captain Marvel 2. I sent you guys yesterday a tweet of Nia DaCosta, the new director for that film, and she was basically saying that they needed to add her in the tweet revealing that she was the director of this upcoming film. And I thought that was like that was a really feisty way of starting her relationship with Marvel and everything like that. But I'm glad that a black woman is behind the formation of this next Marvel movie or whatever. I think it's very important that she is there in that role. So what do you guys think about that news? What do you think about Captain Marvel 2? Are you excited for it? You know,
I mean, last time I heard anything about Captain Marvel 2 is that they're supposed to start planting seeds because she's supposed to, like, start turning bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, in the comic book, she has more of, like, an identity crisis that makes her turn bad and everything. But, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen soon. Like, they're supposed to start planting the seeds.
Is this timeline, in the timeline, is this after Endgame or is this, like, a prequel?
No, this is after.
Okay, you have to ask that nowadays, but I mean, it's pretty, you know, pretty excited for it. I kind of got to see Captain Marvel again because I feel like I missed a whole lot and I didn't really like pay attention that much. But yeah, I need I know I'm gonna rewatch Captain Marvel probably before this comes out, whenever this comes out.
It was a decent movie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was a C movie to me. Like, when they was showing her trials and tribulations, it was just like, okay, but so many people in the armed services do all of this shit, you know, just because you're this white woman, you know, and you've been growing up and failing at different things all your life, doesn't mean that it's very, like, significant that you, you know, the things that she didn't accomplish anything monumental in her life before she got her power. And they tried to, like, lay it on thick that she is this person that, like, strives and is, like, this huge feminist figure and all of that. And I just didn't feel that from her. It didn't seem like she had that much of a struggle, you know what I'm saying? So let's move on to the TV show. So we got Wanda and Vision, or WandaVision, that's going to drop on January 15th. We got another trailer for that yesterday. I have not seen it yet. But out of everything that has been announced, I'm most excited for this show. I think this show is going to be it's going to be like the House of Cards for the Marvel stuff. I think it's going to be the movie, the show with most drama, and that's going to be most critically acclaimed, and is the one that's going to get the Emmy and everything like that. What do you guys think about WandaVision?
Well, them in, you know, the Avengers movies, I was never really interested in their storyline that much, but with the show, I think I am going to be interested in it, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna watch it. So I'm looking forward to it. I saw the cover art for it, and it looked pretty sick. Like, hold on, where is it at? It's like them, like, it looks like they're in, like, the 1940s or whatever. And, like, half of is them as, like, the heroes. The other half is them, like, as just, like, a regular wife and husband. So that's pretty, I'm pretty interested to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
If it's going to be like House of Cards, then I'm definitely watching.
I mean, like, when they touched on their relationship in the movie, they scratched the surface a little bit. I feel like this show gives it a chance to go a lot more in depth as far as what she's what Wanda deals with, because for all Marvel boys and girls who've read Marvel, is what's saying Wanda is known as the person who has fucked up the Marvel universe on occasion.
You said that so casually, on occasion.
Yeah, on occasion. In this universe, they call her a meta-human or whatever. They haven't used the term mutant yet. So, but in layman's terms, she's an Omega 11 mutant, which means basically she has the power to level shit really effortlessly. Because I remember in Avengers Endgame, she was actually handling Thanos on the ones, and this man had to use a cannon to get her up off him because he was about to get smoked. But it's really going to be interesting to see how she copes with the PTSD of all the stuff she's been through, as far as having her hometown blown up, her brother dead, losing her lover, everything else, and how that's going to tie in to everything. Like, let's say, if we get a House of M, if we get the X-Men canon, all the different things, because, like, they even had her in, like, the traditional gear that they had her in the comic books in the trailer, and it was just like, yeah, I mean, we're going to see.
Yeah, I definitely want to see how they play with that. I do not have much experience with Wanda, but how they've been treating her at Marvel the last few years, even with Jonathan Hickman's House of X and Power of X, I think they called her, like, the Great Pretender or something like that. Because she's not the who?
Yeah, like, they called her that. Like, what's the name? Yeah, because if you on Krakoa, she's not allowed, and it's a whole, because, like, basically, since of the whole House of M thing and the whole, it's like a bunch of retcons and everything. So she's basically not a mutant, but she kind of is, and she still feels bad. It's a whole thing, because even what's name? I don't know if you read the new sword. Yeah. We'll get to that reading, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I read was Tom King's vision, and it seems like the both of them have like this huge problem with reality and controlling their reality. So very excited to see what's going to happen. Next, let's talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think that's what they're calling it.
Yep.
Or Falcon Winter Soldier. So I think this is just going to be great. I don't know who's directing it, though. Do we know who is going to direct this?
Is this a movie or a show?
It's a show.
Okay. Yeah, it's a show. Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
It should be the Russo brothers, but
yeah,
we really don't know who directs this.
You Google it.
You got, huh?
You can Google it. I'll go rant about it a little bit.
Okay.
So, name as far as that, I mean, it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a good show, like a good, like, just to pick the place of, like, how S.H.I.E.L.D. used to be, but a lot more action-packed, so it can be just them two going on, like, Black Ops missions and shit, covering shit up from Cap, like, from back in the day, like, what's some stuff he might have looked over or stuff he's dealt with, and that getting into their own trials and tribulations, because we know Falcon's an ex-soldier. How many people might link up with him, or, and also all the stuff that Winter Soldier has done while he was brain controlled. But we'll see how that plays out and which one of them is going to take the mantle of Cap, because that's really like kind of the main thing they're trying to do with the show. I feel like once one of them is going to take it, or they might do a dual thing like, hey, I'm Captain America A, you're Captain America B, or some shit like that, but we'll see.
So the director for this show is going to be Carrie Skoglund. She is a Canadian film director. And she has directed a whole bunch of films that I have not seen. So this will be my first exposure to her. So good on Marvel for putting another woman in the director's chair. The next show is Loki. I think Loki is going to be great. So this show is going to be about the Loki we got in Avengers Endgame, and he dips off with the Tesseract, and we don't know what happens. So through this, I think he is traveling through space and time with the Tesseract, and doing a whole bunch of Loki shit. Loki, yeah.
That's funny.
So, what y'all think about that show?
Yeah, I'm super looking forward to that. Loki's one of my favorite characters in Marvel. I always, ever since I saw, was that Endgame or was that? Oh no, yeah, that was definitely Endgame. Once that scene happened with him taking the Tesseract, I was like, what's so? What now? I feel like I thought that was a loophole, but then when I realized, okay, they're making this show, I was like, okay, that's fine. So I'm really waiting to see what he's gonna do with that thing.
Okay, yep. So Loki.
Our main dead W.
Loki is going to come out in May, and Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to come out in March. Go ahead.
What I was saying is that, like, our main universe Loki, like, he's dead. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He was choked out by Thanos, which, hey, we thought we'd never see, because that man Loki survived death more times than we can count in the whole Marvel universe. I mean, he fell off the Rainbow Road. let me see. He was stabbed. All the other things, but me, like, that time he died. But this time he's just gonna be fucking around different universes, doing whatever. I mean, hopefully it's like some good character development. He starts to think like, hey, man, I can be more than just a god of mischief. I might be able to be an anti-hero or some shit like that. But we'll see.
So the last show I want to talk about is Marvel's What If. That will be an animated show that will closely resemble the What If books over at Marvel. So Marvel, every month or so, they would put out a What If book saying, what if Captain America was never trapped in the iceberg, or what if Spider-Man never got his powers and stuff like that. So that will be an animated show on Disney Plus. What have you guys seen of that, and what do you think about that show so far?
I have no previous knowings or recollections of this comic or this show, so this full on new to me. So it sounds interesting because I've heard, you know, the synopsis of it before, but I didn't know it's gonna be anime. I thought it's gonna be a real live action, but it's still pretty. It still sounds pretty interesting to me. So I may check out an episode or so and see how it is. But I don't know much about it, so I'm not.
As far as that, I mean, as long as they have like the watch, like it's usually every What If comic stops with like the Watcher seeing the view of like the multiverse and all the different stories and says, okay, this is how the story usually goes, but what if this, and after that, he's like the storyteller and we go into that. I'm like, it's animated, which is good because I don't know if they would really blow the budget on the first season just having people from the characters in the movies pop up and say, hey, do this for episode. Nigga, I'm gonna need at least 10 mil for that. But still, I mean, it's gonna be dope. I don't see it longevity as far as that, because like there's a lot of good what ifs, but my thing is what ifs only are so good as you make them, and even then and still, it's only gonna be, I feel like it's gonna be good for like at least 3, maybe 4 seasons.
But that's a long time.
My thing is it's gonna be one of those shows that just fly underneath the radar that get pulled along by the rest.
This can be very good or very mid. I don't think it's going to be bad for them to do this. I think they just need to put in the budget for the animation, and it will be a good show. I think that the show has a lot of potential to be great and get a lot of people interested. I think it will be like kind of like the Black Mirror of the Marvel stuff coming out. So that wraps up.
That's all I need to hear.
Yeah, that's all I need to hear.
So that wraps up our new segment for the Marvel and Star Wars stuff for Disney Plus and theaters moving forward for 2021, 2022, or 2023. What else do you guys have for news, if anything?
Before yesterday, I was going to talk about iCarly. But they just dumped all this stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put that on the back burner. Well, yeah, yep. iCarly just, they're doing a reboot thing.
Reboot on Paramount.
I'm just tired of those. So I was going to let y'all know that. But I think they have the original cast. I'm not sure if they're going to have Sam, but I think everybody else is on board. They got to have Gibby and Spencer and
yeah.
Lubert and all them other guys, so those are that's all I got. You know, I'm not really gonna watch it. I think they need to go on to new stuff and new ideas. It's, you know.
Sam makes the show. How you gonna drop Sam?
I mean, Sam did come forward because like they had like a little kind of continuation of that in Victorious afterward. Like remember, like I don't know if
y'all
It was trash. I mean, heck, Brightside had launched wasn't Ariana Grande's career a little bit more, but still, that's it.
Sam was one of those, you know, for dudes that aren't, well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not that much attracted to white women, but Sam is one of
those. I mean, you're talking to the right nigga right here.
Sam is one of those white women like Topanga. She was, you know, fine, you know what I'm saying? One of those TV girls, you know.
Drew having that flashback to the time we were out that night.
We talk about calling, man. We put that out there.
As far as white funny. Girls, you know, I'll be hang. I fuck with all different girls of different races. Hey, bro, she's bad. She come my way, but
that is funny.
We go on to reading.
I was just thinking like Sam is. She reminds me of the girl off Hannah Montana, not with personality. I don't know. It's just the blonde side character that like. Loki looks better than the main character. That's really what I was getting at. In terms of personality,
Was Lily fine?
I like Lily.
I mean,
I was like 10, but I like Lily.
Sam was, Sam always looked better than Carly to me because, like,
yeah.
Carly low key looked like
those last seasons. Sam like, was bad.
I know, but I mean, yeah. Carly low key looked like Michael Jackson, but
yeah, you know,
light skin, red.
Did he say something about Drake and Josh? No, these niggas don't fuck with each other.
I mean, it's because not because Drake y'all up in his feelings.
Nah, they don't fuck with each other like that.
Not no more. I thought they didn't, and now they did, but now they don't again.
They don't. Well, last time I checked, they did, but I don't know if they did again. The only thing I know is Drake keeps getting in trouble with different stuff. But because I mean, Josh moves on to greener pastures. The man got money. He's married. He has kids. And heck, he's just doing the whole vlogging thing. And I mean, he's a real chill dude. But Drake is still like hiding off the whole. Hey man, I was on Nickelodeon. He used to treat me like I'm royalty type fame. But
I mean, he's making music.
Who listened to that?
Hey, chill up. so books. Kenny, what did you read this week?
DC wasn't really that well. DC had like a lot more. Had a death metal comic called? It was like the Last Tales of the Multiverse. So basically, it was just everybody saying goodbye to the multiverse before they go to battle for the final battle with the Darkest Night. So everybody was saying their goodbyes, hugging up with family. Everybody was like, oh my God, I love you now, et cetera, et cetera. Nightwing and Batgirl got married, per se. And then after that, Wally was forgiven by Donna Troy for killing Red Arrow, and Red Arrow came back from the dead because Black Lantern, Batman rose like all the dead superheroes to help out. He was like, hey man, I can't miss out for this.
And you know what we forgot? Well, what? I forgot. DC revealed a whole bunch of creative teams for after Future State.
Oh.
So like Morocco, whatever. The current writer on Wonder Woman, I will get her name right because she deserves it. I'll look it up. But she's gonna be helming Batman. No, not Batman, Detective Comics.
I saw something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like James Tynion IV is going to stay on Batman. I really don't like that. There's going to be another Green Lantern writer in a new Green Lantern series called The New Green Lantern. And it's a character from Far Sector about the Black Lady Green Lantern.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going to go on with that. We'll get more into it next episode, but I thought that would be important to bring up.
Yeah, that's dope. As far as Marvel, let me see. What happened? Like, what's a Marvel? Oh, like, sword. What's in the sword thing? That's what I want to bring up on in the Power of X, House of X. They have a new storyline coming out called Sword. So you know how, like, we have S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, what's name? This is Sword, which is X-Men's own version of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. As far as they have mutants in space with the whole, it's not like a helicarrier, but it's like a little space station and everything.
The X-Men took over Sword.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they have their own thing and all that. They just did some interdimensional traveling and everything and to get like a new element in that Magneto came on the ship. And that's what he was talking about. Oh, there's no sign of what's the name, even though she fucked up. And he's like, oh, you mean the Pretender. He's like, damn, why are you talking about his own daughter like that? Hey, man, you don't fuck with her.
Damn.
Yeah, they brought that up in the comic. But, like, because he was coming on the ship just to be, like, the representative of the Quiet Council to see what's going on here and everything. And I forget the lady captain, she's all dressed in green. It's not his daughter, it's the other girl. She was, let me see if I can find
her. She was Beast's girlfriend, right? The one with the glasses?
Yeah, she has glasses. Like, she was, yeah.
Yeah, she used to be Beast. And just for the record, the new writer of Detective Comics is Mariko Tamaki. Just wanted to get her name. Okay.
Yeah. Like, what's her name? Kirik. manages Novara. I forget her name, but it's gonna come to me later. She's the leader of S.W.O.R.D. and everything. She's the director. She's like, yeah, I flex with y'all. Thank you for all that. But just make sure I'm doing this for me and doing it for my squad. Because like she was part of Alpha Flight. But like when she left Alpha Flight after the last Skrull Kree event and everything. Because like what's saying they never what like they, the Avengers went off into action and Brie Larson's a part of Alpha Flight, but like she never let any of them know until like it was like Tom Rare in the shit. She's like, I'm not gonna be sitting here waiting on y'all just to fuck up. I'm gonna take care of this on my own. But I mean it's a good comic. I wanna see how it goes in X of Swords. But the main thing I really want to talk about on the mega side, Attack on Titan. So yeah, Attack on Titan. New Attack on Titan Mega came out this week. Right now, we're like I said, like Arthur said, we're in the final 1-2%. We're fighting Eren right now. As far as
oh, come on, man,
we're fighting Eren. The rumbling's happening. I'm not gonna get into too much specifics. Only thing I can say, it was lit as fuck. It's a lot of Titan fighting happening right now. You see a lot of stuff happen that you wouldn't think happen. It's just a whole barrage of cool shit happening right now. Like you remember how Power Rangers used to be back growing up when they had the mechas and they used to have the teammates come up. Nigga, who didn't?
Everybody did.
Oh yeah, I used to fuck with Power Rangers. I used to be big in Power Rangers.
Like, yeah, man, Mystic Force, Dino Force, Time Force, all them niggas, bro.
Trying to find the Red Ranger costume during Halloween and all them shits sold out.
That's like trying to find a PS5.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's impossible.
I was trying to be cool. I always wanted to be Tommy.
I did not. Tommy broke the order of things. You know what I'm saying?
Tommy so was a I liked dude. Him,
but yeah, only yeah, when he was a Red Ranger. I was like, how you going to take the Red Ranger's position? You a white nigga. Like, get the fuck out.
I mean, hey, bro. Even though they kept making a black nigga the Black Ranger all the damn time, and the Asian nigga the Yellow Ranger, but
that yeah.
I thought we had made it when TJ became the Red Ranger. I was like, oh, we in here, only for him to make him a Blue Ranger in space. I was like, oh, you gonna do that to my nigga? So he can't just be a Red Ranger on Earth and in space. He gotta be a white man. Okay, whatever.
But I mean, as far as that, like that's as far as Attack on Titan, shit's lit as fuck. I can't wait to see more. Next issue doesn't come out till next month, but like I said, we're in the final 1-2%. It's shit's wild right now. It's just wild as fuck. Everything's happening right now. Wanting to see how the shit's gonna end, but yeah.
So I read Batman Universe this week, and Batman Universe is the Batman story that came out in 10-page increments in Walmart. So DC did this initiative where they were putting out old stories and new stories from some creators in these 100 issue books, and they sold them exclusively to Walmart. Batman Universe is the collection of Brian Michael Bendis's stories in those 100 issue things. So it is written by Brian Michael Bendis, of course, and it's illustrated by Nick Darrington. And this, I came away from this book feeling very odd, because a lot of people are saying like this is one of the best Batman books in 3 years. And don't get me wrong, it was good, but Bendis's voice on Batman is a little too strong for me. The way he writes Batman, because in this story, Batman talks to himself. And Batman will do a lot of internal dialogue, but I don't know a lot of Batman stories where he's outwardly talking to himself. Like when, you know, in modern day sitcoms, when people are talking to themselves and trying to make it funny and stuff like that, it felt weird. It didn't feel Batman-y. But the other stuff in this story felt very Batman. It was very Batman in the Bowl. Batman, what is it? Batman in the Bowl? Batman, what's it called, Kenny? That show?
Which one?
Batman, The Brave and the Bold.
Oh, that. Yeah. Oh, I hated that show.
Yeah, it feels like that. So he teams up with Green Lantern, Jonah Hex, Green Arrow. He goes to
Blue Beetle, but a bunch of characters. Like literally.
Can you team up with Blue Beetle in? I don't think he did.
Yeah, Blue Beetle, Elastic Man, like literally every episode he could not fight.
Any- oh, no. I'm talking about in Batman Universe.
Oh, I thought you meant Brave and the Bold. I was like, the show, I remember, like, yeah, he teamed up all the niggas. He could not fight one nigga without a follow-up, which made me mad. I was like, come on, bro.
Yeah, it felt very, like, cheesy and stuff like that, Batman Brave and the Bold. But it was still a good show and stuff like that, but Batman Universe felt like that. He also teamed up with, who else did he team up with? Oh, he went to Thanagar. It was just a very good Batman story. It took him all over the world and through history and stuff like that. But it felt like just an average day of Batman being Batman, seeing how he's driven and things of that nature. I think I talked about Superman Up in the Sky. Did I talk about that last week? All right, so Superman Up in the Sky was written by Tom King, and it's another story from these 100-issue Walmart issues. And in this story, is a very simple story about Superman doing everything he can to save this little girl that was abducted by aliens. This black little girl that was... abducted by aliens, and she's very intelligent and stuff like that, and she just has this hope for Superman to save her, even though it doesn't make sense for him to leave everything on Earth, like leave Earth unprotected to go save this one little girl. But in Superman's mind, he says, no, she is very much worth it, and it's worth me leaving the Earth for me to save her. And he goes through all this stuff, like there's like this boxing match he does to get information out of this one dude. I don't know why he just didn't interrogate him, but he boxed him. So he does that. There's one issue where he is half dead or about to be dead, and one alien from this civilization gives his life to resurrect Superman because he sees in his mind how important he is to the world and stuff like that. There's another issue where Superman, the Kryptonian half and the human half of him get split, and it shows that the humanity of Superman, it overpowers the Kryptonian side, because the human side is, they're both trapped. Well, the human side is trapped on this like frost planet and stuff like that. He's still worried about this little girl, and the Kryptonian side is like, bruh, we can't save her. We should have went back to Earth a long time ago and stuff like that. It was just a very good story. I thought I was underwhelmed by it at first, but coming from it, it was just very heartwarming, you know, in a non-corny kind of way. I recommend it highly. What else did I read? I continue reading George Perez's Wonder Woman, which is excellent. We learned that Diana was named after Steve Trevor's mom. Steve Trevor's mom was an honorary Amazon. She crashed on Themyscira during World War II, and she saved one of the Amazons from one of the monsters that live under Themyscira. And so to honor her, Diana's mom, the queen of the Amazons, named Diana, and that's why her and Steve have an innate connection. And I think that's it for me this week.
All right, I think we're on to the watching side now.
Yep, watching and music.
Oh, yeah, so I'm gonna start it off. For me, I'm gonna start off with Boruto, the latest episode. Latest episode, like I said last week, is just an expansion of what the manga did in terms of the Hidden Leaf's sensory system, their new sensory system. At first, it was Manuel. One of the people from the Yamanaka clan, Ino's clan, would literally control who's coming in, or they would monitor who's coming in and coming out the village. Now it's automatic, still led by the Yamanaka clan, led by Ino herself. So. And this latest episode was a pretty nice character development for Inojin. son. He has potential to be a pretty one of the strongest coming out the clan, just like all the other new gen kids are in Naruto and Boruto. So he uses his jutsu that he got from his father's side, and he combines it with the jutsu that he got from his mother to expand the range of his sensory abilities. So that's pretty cool. It's also gonna be pretty cool seeing how that's literally all broken down by Akashi and Koji in the anime. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Also in the preview for the next episode that's coming out on Sunday, we finally get to see Al. He was the he was the aide to the fifth or fourth Mizukage. I forgot her name. We've seen him in the fourth great Shinobi War. He supposedly died by that huge Ten Tails beast bomb that killed Ino's dad, and it killed Shikamaru's dad. But it didn't. Somehow, it did not kill Al. And I'm 99% sure the anime is going to expand on how he ended up surviving that attack. It's pretty interesting because this next episode is literally a memorial service for the fourth great Shinobi War, kind of like how we do with 9/11 and things of that nature. So they're all going to be at the graveyard honoring, or at least Shikamaru and Ino are going to be at the graveyard honoring their late fathers. And this is all coming from the preview, and literally Al just pulls up with his, you know, ninja tech, all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, he's not going to attack or anything like that now, because it's still hidden that he's a car outer. So I'm pretty interested to see what he's going to say, because, you know, he's literally a car member, and they had this whole ninja system to find out who is the mole in the hidden leaf, and the mole literally pulls up. So that's pretty interesting. So I think this anime is really going to show out in 2021. Also, of course, have to mention the season premiere of Attack on Titan season four, episode one. Not sure if you saw it, Kenny, but this was where the Marlies and the Eldians were having their battle, and where Zeke and Reiner jumped out of that the plane or whatever, and my favorite line from the episode was Reiner. He was like, "I'm sick and tired of these walls." He's just like, just went rampage. But he almost died in that, because the Marlies, I think, or no, the aliens? No, the Marlies. They have this like anti-Titan cannon that literally can like kill a Titan. So he took one for the team in protecting Zeke. So, you know, he's still alive, but they're looking for the next heir to become the they're still looking for the founding Titan, but they're
You mean like for because like what's his name supposed to be up soon for Beast? Like what's he's either Beast or what's his armor? Because I know like what's his
name? Armor Titan.
Is it that Gabby yet or no?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Gabby is crazy. Yeah, she blew up one of the tanks. So pretty interesting. And I think I seen in the preview, I think we're gonna see Levi at least, and they already released Aaron's character design. So it's, you know, you know how it is with all the other character designs, exactly like how it is in manga. He literally looks like a hobo Jesus. So I'm pretty excited. That's how
they get you. Like what's the name because in the manga, like at first, like they start at the end of season three. We don't show who anybody is. They just take us in here. Like, okay, we see Reiner here. Reiner's still dealing with PTSD, suicidal, and that. Like, we just see this guy here. He's like this one kid that Falco keeps talking to all the this one guy talking all the time. He's like, who is this guy? Who's got that? That's like, and Reiner sees him. Shit goes left.
But wow.
Shit goes left. Like, what's
Yeah, I really cannot wait. This season I'm gonna watch every episode the minute it drops, and I'm just gonna be on. I'm in for the ride, because I'm a true anime only. I don't know. I kind of know what's gonna happen. I've seen some spoilers, but I don't know how things turn out. And
I'll say like a couple main people have died so far right now.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm saying they haven't died in the anime yet. Some of the main people have died, but we're gonna get there. What's saying, like, we still have like some of the main cast, like Aaron's there, Levi's there, Mikasa's there, Armin's there, and we have a couple other people of the squad, and they're fighting Aaron and all that. But like I said, shit's gonna go, like, right now it's still like building and building it, but wait till Aaron pops out, bro. Wait till that nigga really pop out.
I can't wait. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
All right. As far as me, I was supposed to start Big Mouth, but work said fuck no. So I'll start hopefully this weekend. As far as the music tip, Kid Cudi released Man on the Moon 3 today. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. Continue the trilogy. As far as notes for that album, I heard he's getting back to spitting, which, I mean, heck, I fuck with Cudi spitting. I fuck with him humming. I mean, heck, bro, that's my nigga Cudi. So I'm gonna see what's up. And heck, at least he's dropping, unlike other niggas we know who's out here dropping 6-year-old music videos on a Thursday.
Exactly. I'm not a humongous Cudi fan, but I may check this one out.
Yeah,
I also heard he has been rapping a lot on this one, so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What about you, Marcus? What you been watching
or listening?
Today I'm going to finally catch one of Kev on Stage's. What is it called? The Keep Your Distance Comedy Show. So I'm gonna try to watch that today. Bought the ticket. Even if I don't catch, I just want to support. Either way, because he is trying to build this app and get it off the ground, and I admire his work ethic and everything like that. Been watching Zooming with the Homies, and I watched a good bit of Big Mouth. I think they handle the trans character pretty well. And it's just Big Mouth is so crazy to me. It's just so crazy because at some point you know, because it's kids talking about sex, but it's so educational too. Like it's just very educational. And I meant to talk about Soul Eater because I did read the first volume of Soul Eater during the reading section, and it was so interesting to me how like Soul Eater handled, you know, sex relations, or like how these kids interact with sex versus how these kids on this show interact with sex and how they're learning and stuff like that. And I think Big Mouth just handles it much more maturely, even though it's a very crass show and everything like that. What else? What did I listen to this week? What came out this week? No, most of it was trash. I'll try to listen to the Cudi album, then not big Cudi fan. So let's get into quarantine. My brain is gone.
Yeah, I think it's Quarantine by Ace Payne. So this is Kenny's baby right here. So if you have the hold on, I don't have the description up on me right now. So
yeah, I got it. So this was released on YouTube on April 22nd, 2020. What did he just release the 1 through 20 on April 20?
Yeah, the 1 through 20 compilation. Like he was already stated releasing.
Wait. You said compilation.
That's how it's not compilation. Oh, wow. It's compilation.
Compilation.
Woo! Compilation.
Compilation. That is funny. That's a new one, man.
All right.
You're gonna have to get Tom on here.
Oh man. Hold on. All right, so he put out the episodes like separately, and then he released it all afterwards.
Yeah,
that
was the day it was released all at once, because like it started in like March when we start first. You know,
yeah,
the Ides of March when it happened and everybody got shut indoors, and that goes like week by week, and not week by week, but every couple of weeks or so, they release a couple, because like right now he's up to like past 40 or whatever. But yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's still going. Okay.
So it was created by Ace Payne on YouTube and it features guest voice actors such as Apion Crockett, Alan Maldonado, Denon Porter, Minkai Brooks, and Trey the Truth. I've heard of Trey the Truth. Don't know from where though.
He's a rapper.
We are reviewing episodes 1 through 20, which is the first season. These dubs detail the Young Justice cast in scenarios of quarantine, dealing with the pandemic, and other events that occurred in 2020. The series is ongoing as Ace Vane has created 4 episodes, which premiere on his YouTube channel, Ace Vane, and his Instagram, at Ace Vane. So the first question is overall thoughts. And we'll start with Kenny first, and then Drew.
Overall thoughts. I mean, heck, I liked it a lot. I mean, I remember it just got recommended to me because I watch a lot of dubs on YouTube as far as different things, like when people dub over voice hosting TV shows and everything. So as far as like Team Four Star, SSJ 9K, It's Real 85's videos, or K-Stein. It might be K-Stein. The guy used to do the ghetto SpongeBob back in the day. But yeah, what's the name? Like as far as that, I remember, like I watched a lot of them and I enjoyed them. I mean, some of the dubs are stupid. Other ones, I mean, this was actually funny, like all the way through to me. It was hilarious. Different moments and everything and like the voice acting. And it was just like, you'd never see in that kind of view. And it actually made me like season 3 of Young Justice a lot more, because I'll be honest, season 3 wasn't really that good to me, because like it lacked a little bit of oomph, like as far as like I wasn't really invested in these characters as I was season 1 through 2. And on top of that, like it felt like they just made episodes, but like literally they just, main point of season 3 was just to put a whole bunch of Easter eggs in, and then at that we're going to flesh out on them later on. But my thing is, we haven't got season 4 yet, so we're going to see what happens with that. But I really enjoyed the dub though. I really enjoyed it. It was funny to me.
So I love dubs, from Ghost Stories to It's Real 85, especially It's Real 85. His GTA videos were is like actually like good stuff. It's not just like, oh, it's funny, they just talking stupid stuff. Like, no, it's actually like good quality. And also I like Sonic adventure games. Their dubs are funny, so I love this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Dash too. Yeah. So yeah, I really do love dubs. It's so creative, you know, because like the stuff they be saying in the actual shows, like Young Justice, it has, or at least I don't really watch Young Justice, but as my assumption, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with like quarantine, like a pandemic and stuff like that. So that's pretty, it's very creative actually to tie that in. And I didn't know that he had other actors, voice actors on there. I thought it was just him for the entire thing, but that's still saying a lot, you know, just to do that. But my thoughts on it, I didn't think it was all that funny. I think it was cool. Like there was like, you know, moments where like, you know, you obviously chuckle because, you know, some parts are funny, but I don't know, I guess I'm just comparing it to It's Real 85 too much. But I thought it was cool. I mean it was good. Wasn't great. I feel like I would have enjoyed it more if I saw it separately instead of all together. Because when I saw day 1 through 20, I thought it was going to like coincide with everything. Like I thought it was going to be like a story. Maybe that's why I didn't enjoy it as much. But I feel like I would enjoy it more if I saw it separately. Yeah, I didn't know they were separate. Like, I mean, I knew it was days, so that made me think it was one long story. But okay, yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
All right, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I did not like it. I didn't. It was very, I can understand how some people like it, and I can see how a lot of people like it. It just doesn't match my sense of humor. It feels like, comparing it to another parody series, like even like Teen Titans Go. Teen Titans Go has a little like, how do I explain it? It has, the jokes make you think, but not too much, but it's still funny and it still has references to its source material and everything like that. And it has some jokes that will fly over the head of some people. And I just think that more thought goes into those type of jokes. With this, it was just like a lot of like, I thought of like when I was a kid and you were drawn to funny things that had like a lot of cursing and stuff like that. It didn't feel as,
it wasn't like clever. It was just,
it wasn't clever. It was just like, they're cussing a lot and they're doing this to this show that I like a lot. So it was like, it was just like, yeah. Next, what did you think of the voice acting?
In the voice acting, it wasn't like, I'm not gonna say it's the craziest thing, but it was decent for some parts. I mean, I did notice like when he had voice actors on, but sometimes they did blend together a little bit. Like, I mean, he does like later on have different characters as far as like he had Lil Jon on one episode, I remember in the future, and after that he had like what's the black girl from
you Ghost mean the Lil Jon? Like Lil Jon?
Lil Jon.
Yeah, okay.
He had her, him on the episode. He also had Leslie Jones. He had her on the episode too. Also,
oh damn,
yeah. Like, what's in that's like, that's for, like further down the line. But like I said, it's like what we're reviewing was a compilation.
But, I think Kenny tried to say compilation, but he keeps saying complication or
compilation.
Compilation.
But still, it's a compilation, so it means it's different days and everything. But like, it's already up to day 40 and everything, and it's funny things. Like you have Lex Luthor as president, which I mean, he does make like what's in Lex Luthor as Donald Trump kind of comparison. Fucks with that. It's kind of funny. But as far as that, I mean, the voice I did was decent. I'm not gonna say it's crazy, but it was good. That was good for some parts, but nothing crazy.
I thought the voice act, I mean, just doing voice acting for a dub is instant finding out, you know, the editing that it takes, you know, in terms of the workload, he did a great job. I'll give him that. But I didn't even, just like what you said, Mark, I didn't even know that it was all those other people that was on it. I thought it was literally just him because it sounded like him for the entire time. And if he had all the, I mean, I'm not trying to be too, you know, I'm not trying to critique him too hard because, you know, he's a YouTuber and all that stuff. I'm not trying to get on. It's not like he's a studio or something like that. But I just feel if he had all these other voice actors, then why couldn't he put like women on it to play the female Young Justice members or whatever. I don't know why. But yeah, I don't think the voice acting was all in terms of just this. Just a straight up voice acting. I don't think it was all that great because I didn't know. I thought it was just him the whole time. It didn't sound like he did any other. I couldn't. What's the word? I couldn't
distinguish.
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't distinguish between who was playing who. And sometimes it just felt like it was just a black dude and just another black dude just having a high pitched voice as a female. I don't know. But I didn't think the voice acting was all that great. But in terms of just, you know, the workload and doing all that stuff, it's incredibly hard, I'm imagining. So I'll give him props to that. But I didn't enjoy it all that much. I feel like he should have more people with different voices.
Yeah, the voice acting was very South Park-ish. And I usually like that on South Park. But I don't dislike it, but it's not something that like, oh my God, that was incredible. Next question. What was your favorite episode? I'll go first for this one. I think it was maybe the one with Green Arrow, Black Canary in
episode nine. Yeah. That shit was funny. That's like my favorite episode on YouTube.
Yeah, that was funny. So in that episode, Black Lightning is asking, where have the cucumbers and the
bananas? Oh, yeah.
Cucumbers, hot dogs, and bananas.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this joke, because Aqualad, or did...
He's Aquaman.
Is he still Aqualad, or did he become Aquaman?
They made him Aquaman in season 3.
Okay, yeah, so he's Aquaman. It's not Connor, it is... What's his name?
I forget his name.
He's such a dope character, but he's gay. And we find that out in season 3 of Young Justice. I was like, that's low-hanging fruit.
Calder.
Yeah, Calder. So I was like, this is low-hanging fruit. But during the time where Black Lightning is asking Calder, like, where are these foods going to? Black Canary has the attitude with Green Arrow. And for those of you that don't know, they're usually tied in a romantic relationship together, if not married. So she has this attitude with them, asking, doing all this, little shit. And he's like, hold on, why are you mad at me or whatever? And then she tells him that she knows about his cheating and him having an OnlyFans account. And I think someone noticed it was food in there, and then they tie it back to Calidor. And he says, oh, I was just doing it to investigate where the food is gone. And she's like, you've had that 3 months before the quarantine even happened. And he's just like, well, fuck it. You caught me. But you should see what he can do with
a banana.
And that was funny. What about you guys?
I would say that one is probably my favorite. Also, like the what was the one? Was it 7? When it was 3 dudes. One of them is the gorilla with a.
Oh yeah, what's the name of when Black Manta then go fight a huntress and everything? He said,
"Yeah,
if I get my ass beat by Snow Ninja Cat, bitch, you gotta get your ass beat by Snow Ninja Cat, bitch, too."
Yeah, those two were probably my favorite ones. Towards the end, it just kind of got like, okay, what is going on? But those two was probably the ones I actually like bust out laughing at. So I definitely like those.
Episode 9 for me, like same one that Marcus said, because it's just like hilarious. Like you sit here, it's like, I mean, our Black lagging ass and after this man is like, did Aqualad comes back. And I mean, like I said, it's low hanging fruit that he's like being like the gay guy and everything. He's like, hey, baby, we ain't answering no questions. And after that, he said, oh, ma'am, I'm sis. And after that, he was like, no, I'm a bro. What's going on and everything, man? And then after that, the whole Green Arrow and Black and everything, and then Batman at the end is like, hey man, is OnlyFans really cheating? I mean, it's just porn, right? But yeah, that was funny to me. That was my favorite episode.
So how does this dub match up to other dubs you've seen, full cartoon dub? Go ahead, Kenny.
Okay. As far as, I mean, it's not going to rank high because I've seen, like, number one, I've seen better, like, as far as it's the real 85. Like, he's still making me, like, what's his name? Well, he's doing more, like, vlogging stuff and, like, real life stuff now.
Yeah.
He doesn't really, like, make them from time to time, but, like, he does review his old stuff with his wife. And, like, his stuff was classic. I remember because he did that. He did the NBA back in the day. He did do that.
Yeah.
He had, what's his name? He had the Ninja Turtle ones. He had a couple of Batman skits and everything and all that. That joint was dope. As far as Dragon Ball Z, SSJ9K was, his joints were, like, more my sense of humor.
His were good too. I remember that. Wow. Yeah.
He has some good ones. Team Four Star was good. It's just that, like, what's the name? Like, Team Four Star, like, if you want to go for like a more, like, you can see this as a show type shit, but it's still funny. They'll be like, what's in your kind of audience for that? And Kate, like, what's in K-San, I remember, like, back in the day, they used to premiere on YouTube back in the day for the SpongeBob in the Hood. And those were actually, they were funny, like, looking back on them. But yeah. So, I mean, this measures up, I'll say, out of all of those, it's, like, in the, like, 6 or 7, but it's good. It's a good watch, something to put on, just for a quick laugh and everything. I respect his grind and everything because he pushes them out. And also, I mean, he has another series where he does like the like what's in the 90s Spider-Man. It's called In Love with Mary Jane. But I mean, I prefer In Love with Mary Jane more than this stuff because that's a lot more funnier.
Yeah, I watched the first, well, some of the first episode for that, and I was like, okay, this is actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Drew.
Compared to other ones, I think that there's a couple ones that I would prefer. With this type of, it's kind of weird, like kind of deciphering and analyzing dub comedy. But this one, kind of dub comedy, it's kind of just like brass and there's nothing wrong. I love ignorant comedy, but this was like just that type of comedy. It wasn't very, like what you said, Marcus, it wasn't very clever. It didn't feel like it was a part of a storyline, which I think dubs should, at least dubs kind of should have some type of, you know, timeline or whatever. But that's besides the point. I think that, like, I just feel like It's Real 85 is just like the bar. And unfortunately, I just compare them to everybody else. Also, yeah, like I said, I enjoy the fan dubs of this. It's this YouTube account that does live fan dubs of video game storylines. Like they did the last one, but the one of my favorite ones, they did the Spider-Man video game that came out on the P4. And that one was hilarious. But they do them like live with like four or five different people. So it's that's pretty funny. But in terms of the other fan dubs, I would prefer other ones. But you know, this one wasn't terrible. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
When I think about the pinnacle of dubs, I still think about Ghost Stories. Ghost Stories was just it. Even though I don't like dub cartoons and stuff like that, it was still amazing how they could turn that whole thing around in order to be that funny. I think this needed, I agree with Drew, this needed like an overall story to keep it on the path. And plus it shows how much more creative you are with like a constraint. And you have to keep on, I guess the quarantine is the story, but maybe they had like a more centralized story. Yeah. And if they would have made more references to the actual season, like the actual Young Justice season, it would have been more clever.
I agree.
Last question. Would you tune into season 2 or check out his other dub series?
Just go ahead.
I've already done it, so it's already, for me. Like I said, other episodes, this is a good starter, but like what's that, other episodes just get a little funnier because, like, they have other episodes. They talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. They talk about a bunch of different other things. And they even talked about the election and voting and all the other stuff. Like they come up with a lot more different things so far as to what happened in 2020, even up to now. So yeah, I watched that. But as far as his other series, In Love with Mary Jane is hilarious as hell.
I probably won't check out the rest of this series, but I'll be open to finding out, you know, his other stuff. This is my first time hearing about him, so this is all new to me. So I mean, I wouldn't be close to checking out his other videos and his other series with dubs. But in terms of this one, I probably wouldn't. It's kind of a lot that to keep up with.
No.
Trying to be nice.
For those of you listening, I am not shitting on this man's content. I don't even really like dub stuff like that. And I think a lot of you might even like it. It's just not for me. So if you're listening to this and you want to check, find a new dub series or anything like that, check it out. You might like it. I would say start with his Spider-Man first before you go to this one, though. So let's end this segment with our rankings. If this is your first time listening to the Blurs, we use the Naruto Mission Ranking System, which means the highest grade project can get is an S rank, and the lowest is a D rank. I'm gonna go ahead and give this a C because it's not for me, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people like. I mean, I saw the lights. There's a lot of lights, so I'm pretty sure a lot of you might like this form of comedy. It's just not for me.
I'll give him a C plus. Mainly just off the props of him, you know, doing this. I'm sure he did like 85-90% of the work, and then he just had the couple other guys do some other voices. So major props to him. Like I said, his type of humor isn't. I mean, it's. I've watched the Boondocks and Family Guy and all that stuff, so it's not like it's like, you know, disrespectful. Or I mean, it kind of disrespectful. But it's not like it's like ignorant or like that. But I mean, it is ignorant. But it's not like it's not my cup of tea. But it is my cup of tea. I just didn't find it all that funny. I just think I'm more so interested in storylines. So yeah, C plus.
I'm gonna give it an A. I really enjoyed it. It was funny to me. Like what is what's in his work ethic. Been checking out episodes, looking out for more. Props to the man's van. And yeah, it's me.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you for watching another episode of The Blurs. Please feel free to follow us on all our online stuff, you know, Twitter, Instagram, at The Blurs Word, and on our Facebook page called The Blurs. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube on our channel called The Blurs, and also feel free to leave a 5-star review and a positive comment on your favorite podcast aggregator. That helps us reach more people, and we want to grow the community. So please do that favor for us. We would highly appreciate it, and see you guys next time.
Peace.
Right, why so the middle finger up? I meant to do this. I said, I'm dead.
Fuck all the
Oh, that does.